meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dustin and Riley both here from Thrice. Must be interesting for you guys to hear the show begin.
With us sitting here.
And not, yes, because, you know, I was looking at the... it's funny how things sort of come together in little bits and pieces. I was just looking at this thing, and it said, last time Thrice was on the show was September 11th, 2003. And I thought, that was close. Then I thought, wait a minute, September 11th. What is that, my birthday? No, wait a minute. My sister? Oh, no, that's September 11th, I thought. And then I thought, wait a minute, where was I on September 11th? And I thought, oh, yeah, I did Kimmel's show. And it was horrible because it was like the September 11th crowd. It's like a bunch of people like just wearing black out there just crying while you're trying to do a comedy about how
comedy.
Cheap your dad is, you know, and masturbation comedy. And then I thought... Wait a minute. So I must have been late. And then Drew came in and mentioned that he was late. And then I thought, that's right. Drew was on the show with me. And Thrice was the band. And they were sitting in the studio. And let me tell you a thought I've often had. And then we're getting knee deep into Thrice.
All right.
Oh, yes. Knee deep into Thrice
that
sounds like
hurt.
The kind of trouble you'd be in.
Yeah.
Listen, son. And let me tell you this. When I come home from work, you're knee deep in Thrice. Knee deep. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Something very bad.
Yeah, you just, that means impending doom.
Doom.
Like you better, yes. You better think about packing that little sack with the stick, the one with the handkerchief
hobo,
on the stick.
With the spots
and,
on it.
And crawling out your bedroom window. Yeah. But, Drew, what was I saying? I was getting into something.
You were talking about us coming in here. In
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's what I always think. And listen, engineer Chris, you're just the guy to do it. People always say, like, what do you guys do when... like, you know, if you're late. It's like, well, Drew's usually there. Or I get there. You know, one of us will cover. Well, what if both of you are late? Just dead air. And people are always like, well, you have something in the can, right? Something wound, something ready to go. You know, you just, you know, put this cassette in. No. I mean, you don't. You do. You're in 100 cities. You don't have a little something that
little
says
intro.
We're late, a little intro, a little best of, a little something ready to go.
Now listen to some Thrice.
Yeah. No. And then I think, so about once every 3 weeks, I think, we're going to go ahead and do something like that.
Yeah.
And then I think, nah.
Are you kidding me, guys?
It's never going to happen. What do you got, Anderson?
I always have something ready.
You got something ready?
Of course.
But do you have, like, a fake show ready?
Yes, I have numerous ones.
You do?
Yes.
Well, let's play one. What are we doing
we're going
here?
To the bathroom. Go ahead.
Because we have Thrice in the studio, and it's a golden opportunity.
We had Thrice 3 months ago. What do you got? What would you do if we weren't here tonight, Anderson? What did you do when Thrice was here?
Last time.
What do you mean?
Well, what did you do when we were actually late last time?
I don't remember. I'm sure I played at the beginning of another show.
No, that's not what I remember.
I tuned in and heard Anne and Thrice like, I don't know. Is this on? Didn't sound like you had something in the can.
Drew did the cell phone.
We had Drew on the cell phone that one time.
But the phone went out.
Well, and Anderson, I'll give you a minute to look around, but whatever you would do if we didn't show up tonight, I'd like you to do it.
I think last time Drew was on the phone, it cut out, and I played like the Drew Boogie or something. And
yeah, okay. That's right.
But I always have something, and I don't want to play another show. That's gay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, it was worth a try. All right, anyway, thanks, Anderson. You're always Johnny on the spot over there. And Chris, what do you got? Nothing over here, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And at K-Rock, they have a show ready to go.
They do?
Even if you're...
One of ours?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like not Ronnie on the Rock.
From 1962 or what?
It's from Westwood. Yeah, I don't know.
Poor man.
Yeah.
All right. Thrice is here. We're going to hear something off the CD. You guys are going to Europe?
Yes.
Soon. At the end of January.
We're going. That sounds nice.
And Japan and Australia.
That sounds nice, too. I've never been in Japan or Australia. Every time anyone talks about Australia, they rave. Japan is more like, well, you kind of got experience,
listen,
but you don't want
to
stay there too long.
Somebody from Japan last night who was telling me that the Japan is having a huge problem with adolescent and young adults, that this whole generation has dedicated themselves so much to their work, they just let their kids sort of run wild. And now the schools are having to raise the kids, and when the kids get arrested, the teachers go in to bail them out. They're like feral kids.
And they have money.
They have money, and they're effed up, apparently. Yeah. That's a big problem going on.
I think, you know, us westernizing the Japanese was like us, giving our, like, smallpox to the Indians. They can't handle it. Their systems aren't made for denim and, you know, barracudas and Beatles. And Beatles and Elvis Presley and, Crank. They're not made for, like they start hearing some speed metal. It's like, hey, you can dye your hair. I dye hair. Yeah, and yay, man, you don't have to wear that suit, man. Get you some, we call it denim.
You know what it is? It's like the cartoon with the person with the hair perfectly combed. All of a sudden, one hair goes
boing.
Up.
Yeah, they're like, hey, man, do
the eyes become circles.
Do a rail of this trucker speed. Rucker speed? Yeah, go ahead. All of a sudden, the wheels come off the wagon. And let me tell you this about the Asians, because I want to warn you guys, head over there. When they go hard. They go south hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's no middle ground. There's no sort of soft rocking Asians. You either got the super button down, brown suits, skinny tie guys bowing, constant bowing, or you got the crazy rice rocket motorcycle gang guys.
We have the only one in our band, though.
You got the button? Oh, you got the in betweener?
We have the in betweener.
Oh,
found him.
Cherish him. Cherish him. He's
Japanese?
A treasure.
Yeah.
Japanese, you got a tweener, you got an in between. Wow,
we'll
hang on to him.
No, it's got to be Chinese.
Japanese.
Hang on to him, both hands. Do not let him get away, because he's worth something. Because once they go, and let's hope he's been this way for a while, right? He's not transitioning into the crazy rice rocket motorcycle gang with the Japanese animation.
They're catching him on
about the furthest thing from him.
Okay. Yeah. You could catch it. You see, he could be going one direction or next. He could be heading toward a suit.
He's
and a lot
stable,
of bowing.
I think.
And those horn-rimmed glasses. No? All right.
Doesn't compute.
All right.
We got some trucker speed and some Rebis.
We'll see what happens, because it happens once in a while. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Where are we? Oh, yeah.
Go to calls.
Yeah, no. You know what's cool about you guys going to Europe, too, is... think about this, Drew. You'd love to go to Europe, right?
Yeah.
You'd love to. And you get a little older, you put a few bucks in the bank. It's not really about money. It's more about the time.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, if you're going to crack a beer, do it away from the mic, please. It's about finding a few weeks.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you can find a few weeks, but there's so much crap piled up at home, you want to get to that. Now, you guys are getting paid. Like, you have to do it. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's like if you had to get a massage.
Right.
You got to get it.
Yes.
We can't find the time anywhere else to do anything else, though.
That's the thing everyone says.
But you don't have anything else to do,
the
though.
Place.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah, but they can't have fun while they're there, because they're running through each city, right?
True. It's definitely an awesome opportunity to get to see these places, but it's like, hey, that was London.
Yep.
Time to go.
Let's go to Paris. Okay. I saw that thing from far away, and it looked like in the movies.
Yeah. I know this sounds totally incredible, but... is there a way to say, look, instead of spreading this 15-city tour into 19 days, we'd like to do it over 28 days. And we'll kick in a couple of our own bucks. Like it's going to cost a little more. You're not going to make the money, but we'll take a little less or something. Like, is there a way to stretch it out?
Or to keep it localized? Like, we're gonna explore England. So at least we have a single culture.
Now, because they go from England, and then they go to Oregon, and then they go to France.
And then Australia and Japan. It's like crazy.
And then Australia and then Japan. Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah.
Oregon's pretty key in there, though.
You got to get the Oregon people.
And Utah.
That date cannot be moved, so you have to
Do you want to hear an interesting Oregon story? I have a lot of family from up there, and it's really... a lot of it's redneck in a really weird way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Spun
really,
redneck.
Really good at building potato guns. And what they're just telling me is the way they get around drinking and driving laws is to fill their windshield wiper fluid thing with alcohol and run the tube into their car so they can just stick the tube in their mouth and hit the button and squirt liquor into their mouth.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's old English 800, just a hint of Windex. It's good stuff. It's like a Windex floater.
That's a Saturday night. The rest of the week, it's Mickey's.
I like when guys really get inventive. Like, well, he took the tool bed box of his pickup truck, and he gutted the whole thing, took it all out. Got a pony keg in there. Then he drilled through the firewall, and he ran some 3/4-inch PVC up around through the. And it's like, really? Can't you stop the car and get loaded like me? You got to.
So you guys have heard of this before?
Yes, I have heard of that.
I was pretty surprised.
That's usually the weed smokers that are inventive.
Yeah,
it's not the beer drinkers.
It's sort of like doodling. You know, like weed smokers like to doodle. Mm-hmm. They also like to invent like kooky, crappy things that don't really work.
Yeah, but then
work.
They got to hand it off to their tweaker friends to get it done.
Right, yeah, the tweakers get it done. Yeah, this just scratched down on a cocktail napkin.
Right.
But you know, these are by the way, Oregon and Florida, the two cities. Ooh. I don't think people know
two
states that people don't really know about. In terms of like, I grew up thinking, Florida, that's where old people go there to
Disney
retire,
World.
And
Disney
they got
World.
Disney World. Oregon, oh, geez, it's a
hippies.
bunch of hippie guys out there, salt of the earth types. You don't realize you got some serious rednecks in both. But different.
Yes, you do.
And the Florida redneck
is... sociopath redneck.
Yeah, that's the one who'll cut you.
Yeah, sociopath redneck.
Oregon is more about stockpiling munitions and canned goods because someone's coming for them.
Always verging on religious fanaticism.
Yeah, whereas Florida's just, I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to cut you with this can lid.
Rest some godless. Gators with me, Pappy.
Florida's where all the bus drivers come from.
No, it's not the southern toothless guy. It's the guy from Michigan. That comes, he gets could have kicked out of Michigan.
Yeah,
they migrate down. They go right.
Yeah, and I guess Oregon is more the militianist guy.
Yeah,
he's got a bunker. He's got a lot of canned food.
Get kicked out of Utah and Idaho.
Yeah, yeah. All right, this sounds
figure it all out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the city that doesn't have that diversity.
Where?
Well, or the state even
that doesn't have the.
Well, I'm all right. I'm going to work on
Montana.
This. Yeah, Montana.
Yeah,
I think Montana. Here's what state is close to what we think about it.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
they don't disappoint. Bunch of doughy white people happy
eating
to see
French fries with mayonnaise on it.
Happy to see you.
Yeah.
We drove through Wisconsin. We stopped at a gas station to take a leak. It's like Drew and I came walking. Ha! hi.
First we're like,
it's a white person talking to us. Maybe she must have bound and gagged the steely-eyed foreigner who usually mans the counter. And
we went to the bathroom.
She's
remember.
Like, "Ha!" And we're like, "What's the word? Hi,
hello?
hi. Can we use the bathroom? Sure, you can. Go right ahead." I'm like, nothing. No, I don't have to. You don't want any money. You know,
you
have my wallet. There's no tokens. You don't have to get a 2-forms ID. No. And we're like. But what happened to the super scary, steely-eyed foreign guy who was like, no, it's broken, cannot have, no.
And the bathroom was right next to sort of the burrito bin and sparkling clean.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take the burrito and put it on the floor and eat it.
Yeah. Oh,
only
what a
there.
Utopia.
There are some terrible bathrooms across this nation.
Oh, yeah.
And in Europe, too.
We gotta get over there.
We got some calls tonight. We took 3 calls last night.
We gotta get.
We're lingering. We're lingering because the vacation's coming. The
holidays. Yeah,
we just like to talk. We haven't seen each other for a weekend.
Sure, it's been a day and a half. We never get to talk anymore. All right, you ready to rock?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this real quick, though. I was talking to a friend of mine. Today, I was saying, you know, imagine what it's like when you live in one of these other states. And we have people listening to our show who live in those states who take it for granted. You get to pick up the phone and talk to people who speak English.
When you pick the phone up, yes.
And I'm just saying, you live in Los Angeles, Southern California, especially Los Angeles. You pick the phone up, you want to call the Home Depot, you want to call the fast food joint, you want to call the Chinese takeout place. You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. No slight against those wonderful people. I'm just saying it is a luxury when talking to people
you. It's a surprise.
Yeah, I'm just saying the people live in other states.
Yeah, for us it's a surprise.
Yes, for us it's a pleasant surprise. And how many times have you done this where you've called to order some Thai food or some Japanese food and you go, I like the Kung Pao chicken. Not too hot. Not kind of mild. Yeah, okay. But mild. Right? Yeah. So that's the Kung Pao chicken, right? Yeah. but mild, right? But yeah. You know, it's like you think, now you're just sitting there thinking, maybe it's going to be mild, maybe it's not.
Listen,
like,
you guys,
and there's no way to really figure that out.
Every time I call a nursing home or a hospital and try to give orders, it's like calling a, you know,
a
restaurant.
And
it's you think, I wonder if that's going to happen.
Right, right. So here's what I'm saying. When you hang up the phone, whether you're calling the nursing home or whether you're calling the Chinese takeout place, you hang up the phone thinking, well, it's a 50-50 chance that I'm going to get whatever it is I ask. Or maybe it's 60-40. Hard to tell. It's got to take a little bit out of you living in a city where that's just a constant.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
you just kind of get used to it. You just hang up and you go, well, all right. Well, maybe it'll be mild, but maybe it'll be super extra spicy, and well, never. We have no control over this. It's interesting, though, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Not many people can experience that in their own country, can they?
No, just Los Angelians.
Yeah.
So let's take a break now.
We got to take some calls.
Oh, okay.
We got thrice here. We can get to the phones. It's not a slight against the valuable foreigner living here. Don't get me wrong.
I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice, except for the sort of rolling of the dice aspect of it all the time.
The uncertainty of actually getting jobs done is what's concerning. But the actual diversity is fine.
Yeah, who knows what you're going to get.
Yeah. Amber, 24.
It's like mystery date. What's up, Amber?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Okay, this is kind of the situation. I'm dating a guy who's 9 years older than me. We've been living together for 3 years. He has a very odd schedule. He works for a fire department, so he kind of doesn't get a lot of sleep at night, that kind of a thing. And when he is home, he's not really into me sexually speaking. I mean, we usually have sex like 3 times a month or something,
mm-hmm.
sometimes more. And, mm-hmm. You know, at first, you know, when we first started dating, it was a lot more frequent.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
No, I'm not. I'm not ugly. He's completely attracted to me. I mean, I've asked him that before, and he's not the kind of guy.
Is he on medication?
Is he what?
Is he on medication?
No, he's not. And we actually, I had him go to the doctor to have some blood tests done just to check everything, and his testosterone level's fine. His thyroid's fine. I mean, everything. You know, his B12 is fine. What I'm wondering is...
His feet swelled?
His age,
what?
His B12.
B12.
His B12. Yeah. They check your B12?
No, that's the doctor going, okay, Amber, whatever you say.
Yeah. All right, hold on a second. Let me tell you something about calling these Thai food places. No, but you see how boring... You see how boring our callers are? First, Amber here is 24 years old and sounds like a 40-something-year-old housefrau.
From Wisconsin, interesting.
From
Michigan.
No, not Wisconsin.
Germany.
From the early 1960s, late 1950s. Like, forget about state. She's from another time. Yeah, and I think, you know, when these chicks start sort of henpecking, they sort of become your mom and not really your lover.
Yeah.
Like, you want some hot, sexy thing.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not talking about total all-out fantasy, but I'm just saying she's, at 24 years age, is starting to sound like the guy's mom.
And yet they're not married, and...
Let's get back. Amber?
Yeah, I'm not his mom. I'm really into a lot of neat stuff. You know, I go to strip clubs with him and stuff like that.
Neat.
And when we do have sex, I mean, it's pretty kinky. It's not that I'm necessarily, concerned with trying to be his mom. I'm just wondering, what's going on with guys around 30? I've never dated a guy that was
Amber,
more than, 2 years older
Amber.
Than me.
Amber,
yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is something to do with your relationship or him. This has nothing to do with it, not anything to do with his aging. And you sending him in there for B12 levels are completely missing the point. Does he smoke pot? Does he drink heavily? Is there anything else going on?
No.
You sure?
He's a very clean-cut guy, yeah.
He's pulling out hoses all day long.
He works for a fire department, so...
So what?
Well, he doesn't get a lot of sleep at night.
Is he a paramedic?
Wait a minute. Doesn't he? What's he work? 3 days on and 4 days off, or something?
No, he works about sometimes 4 days on, and he gets the day off, and then he works a lot of overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting maybe.
Go ahead. Right. He doesn't get any sleep at the firehouse.
No, he's running calls all night.
All right, is putting out fires
paramedic.
All night.
Was he a paramedic?
No, they run a lot of medical calls.
Yeah.
So they have to go on 6 fat people.
All right, listen. If he's strung out and he's tired and all that, maybe you guys just need a weekend. But how long you guys been going out?
3 years, living together 3 years.
3 years. Why aren't you guys married?
Well, financially, it's not something that I want right now. I go to school and I get financial aid.
No. Why aren't you married? No.
Why aren't you married?
Well, if I got married to him, I wouldn't get my financial aid. I couldn't have my school paid for.
Stop BSing.
A lot of money.
Right, he'd pay for it. Stop BSing. Makes, why?
Yeah. You don't want to get married to a guy who makes a lot of money.
Right, it would pay for
your
school.
You'll lose your pittance you get every month.
So why aren't you married?
That I pay for.
Don't BS us. Why aren't you married?
Well, I guess it's not necessarily something that I want either right now. I mean, he doesn't necessarily want it, and I don't.
Yeah,
that's the problem. He doesn't want it.
You don't want it because he doesn't want it. That's what we think. And there's something about him, and I don't know, okay, here's what we're saying. This is going to sound cruel, but just sit down and listen.
You're fat.
Drew, please. Guys, I'm sorry I have to say that again. It's the beer talking. Here's the thing. You show me a guy who's 33, who's with someone who's 24, who's been with her for 3 years, is reeling back the sex a little bit.
It means something.
And not really wanting to get married.
Right.
And what he's saying is let's stop it at this certain point.
This is
as far as it's going.
This is
it's
it. We're in a holding pattern. We're in a holding pattern, and it's not going forward. It's not
right.
going to be on this.
Right.
This is good enough for now. And while I'm working hard, I can't really make any changes.
Right.
And that's it. It's good enough for now. But it's not going to go forward.
Right. And you're 24, and you're not busting my chops like you would be if you were 30 or 32 and wanting to get married. You're able to talk yourself into this stuff about being on
schooling
and all this. But he doesn't want to get married. You sense that. And you sense if you pushed on him,
he'll be gone.
He'd be gone.
All right.
So listen, Amber, maybe this thing is coasting to a stop. That's fine,
yeah,
everybody.
Maybe that.
You get a relationship when you're 21. 3 years later, you're 24. It's about time. Mm-hmm. We've all had those happen.
Oh, she's
yes.
going to go home and just bust his chops tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doomed.
We are getting married tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, why do women talk themselves into BS? They talk themselves into BS about everything.
Yeah.
Everything they're supposed to be. They're supposed to want. How they're supposed to behave in a relationship. Exposed to how they're actually feeling. It's like we've turned women into some sort of puppets.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not they're not the man's puppet. They're sort of the man. They're like the cultural puppets of how they're supposed to be.
I don't know. She starts with school, then goes to she's not ready to get married, and then slips into either. And that's the magic word.
Right.
All right, Thrice in studio tonight. Sorry, Drew, had to do all that yapping, kids. We're going to play a little something from Thrice. Yeah, well, that's what you get. You get Hausfrau Amber from Corona. That's what you want, as opposed to my pearls of wisdom about society?
Yes.
Yes?
That's what I want, yeah.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dustin Riley, both here from Thrice tonight. The artist in the ambulance, name of the CD. We'll hear a song off of that in a couple of seconds.
Hey, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. You're going to like this.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dustin and Riley are both here from Thrice.
Yo.
The artist in the ambulance, name of the CD. All right. Let's see.
Except you're taking calls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's different.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay?
Hi.
Hey.
Let's critique ourselves.
Arlen, you're 21.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. And my ex-boyfriend is really unsupportive, and I'm not sure if I should try to continue any kind of relationship. We haven't talked in a while.
Show. He lives across the country. Much better show last time you guys were up here.
And he doesn't want to talk to me, but he seems like he still wants to be involved in the baby's life.
I'm confused. How can he not talk to you and be involved in the life of the baby?
I think he's
the
fetus on the phone.
Shows.
Okay. Really?
This is not from when we were here. I think he's showing you that he can
yeah.
manipulate.
Yeah, he's
really
doing something.
Sure exactly
it's from when they're
he
there.
Wants to do.
No, you were here.
It is.
All I know is
yeah.
he's just
like
smoke
this. Pot.
Too busy.
You think?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the.
You think this picture wasn't doctored? Ironically,
no. Here's the thing.
I don't.
So you guys think that you can remember every call just because you've been here twice? No, 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 no.
Yeah.
It all goes.
Okay.
Here's, but wouldn't you remember hearing it?
No.
I wouldn't have remembered that one. I remember like the guy that peed in two streams and then the masturbation record and that stuff. But.
Yeah. So, Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, first off, why'd you stop?
We were almost asleep.
Yeah, I was getting confused.
I was going to go make a number two. And yeah, I was just starting to sort of settle in and enjoy whoever that was. All right, now, we're going to the phones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the point of that? Just I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, to show that he could really... represent the show. If we something happened to us, he'd keep the show going.
I see.
Seamlessly. No one
yes,
knows.
If I had the heart attack I'm sure I'm going to have in the bathroom, the show would go on.
Pushing out the Duke?
Or trying to suck it back in.
Growing a stinky tail?
Yeah, that's the part. It's not the pushing out part. It's the part where I try that trick where I'm trying to suck it back in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I'm going to hurt myself, Drew. You know what I mean? Anyone can push it out. All right, you ready? I have a show to that one, right?
The piston poo syndrome.
Yeah. Tony?
Uh-oh.
See what happens when we try to
Tony?
Talk to people? All right, screw Tony.
There.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Line three?
Yeah.
CJ?
Yeah?
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, here is my deal. I was married at 17, got with a guy when I was 15, and we had a great sex life for a long, long time. 3-4 times a day, we were always having sex. And
how long did that go on for?
Oh, years.
4 days. Where do you live, by the way?
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And at the end, he became very violent, and there was a lot of domestic violence. He tried killing me, and he ultimately ended up raping me. And since then, I haven't been able to have any type of... I have the feelings to want to have sex, of course. I'm only human, but
sure.
To go through the act is just so... It's hard for me.
Okay, so that suggests that you've had... First of all, it's hard to imagine 3-4 times a day to decide which one the rape was. But be that as it may.
He actually raped her at a certain point.
But the deal here is that you're
How
having what's
you,
called
Drew?
A post-traumatic stress disorder, and this rape is bringing something to the surface of something you had happened to you long ago, and now you're having all these flashbacks and anxiety and paralysis around that. So what happened when you were like 8, 6?
8, 6. I was molested when I was young.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
There you go. And this is bringing
is.
All that back.
Yeah.
And,
I don't even know we talked to anyone. We were making this announcement the other night, and it sounds bad, but it's not really meant to be bad, so who cares? But we don't talk to anybody on this show who was raped that wasn't molested or abused in some situation form.
We said
earlier
I've never seen a 14-year-old or 15-year-old female who was raped and kept it secret. Who didn't have a prior history of sexual
abuse. It isn't even a keep it secret part. I know you like
this
to
is
add
a little
that,
different.
But.
This is she's saying I have this violent sociopath, sex addict for a boyfriend, and then he raped me, and now I can't. Now I have a reaction to that. I can't even think about it. I can't do
right.
sex. And that's a post.
What it was is that
disorder.
At the end he had, like I said, there was a lot of domestic violence, and in the midst of all that, I had told him I was no longer going to sleep with him. And he took it upon himself to take it from me.
No, CJ, he's
that
a,
doesn't.
He,
yeah, look, but that's no. neither here nor there.
Yeah, he's a sociopath.
Yeah.
That's
the question
that.
is what made you think it was a good idea to get hooked up with a guy
well,
like this?
Her dad who sexually abused
honestly,
her.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know you're going to tell us you didn't know he was this kind of guy, but that's not the answer we're looking for.
We know you didn't know that. Can I at least say that I was 15 in a runaway and I had no...
Yeah, the runaway. All right. The point is there had to be some abuse you were running away from that sort of set you
was.
Up to get
there
hooked
was.
Up with the abuser. Okay, so anyway, this is how it works.
And now you need treatment. Now you're ready.
There you go.
I've been trying to go through treatment for the last few years, for the last 3 years, and mm-hmm. It seems to be like a cat and mouse game between me and the therapist. I'm more than willing to be open. I'm more than willing to talk. It just doesn't seem like it's going anywhere with my therapist. I don't get back what I need from them.
All they're going to give you is mirroring reflections of your feelings. They shouldn't say anything.
And a bill.
They should
and
just show you on your on their face that they appreciate the feelings you're having in the moment. That's
they don't do anything. They
That's all they're going to show you. And what you how you respond to that, the work you do, is what needs to happen.
How do I get through the feelings of being like dirty and wrong? And even though it's human nature,
Keep exploring them and keep understanding that that person is there and listening and appreciates what you're saying.
So how did he try to kill you and not kill you?
He strangled me one night when we were homeless. We were living out of our car, ultimately what caused him to lunge at me was I told him that I was sorry that his mom had molested him as a child.
Had molested him?
Yeah. Very severely throughout the years. I know bits and pieces, but knowing the family, I got to know more.
Yeah.
Out of anger, and he just went at me, and he tried strangling me.
Mm-hmm. How did he not strangle you?
How did he not? He ended up letting go of me when he felt I had ultimately passed out. I had my daughter in my arms.
Yeah. Why do you retards got to crank the kids out? Come on, you're a mess.
It was a long marriage.
Please. 17. All right. What are you doing with this kid? How are you going to get
two kids?
How are you going to make these kids not come out like you guys?
Too late.
Away from him and get help for myself.
All right.
Get help
for yourself. And please keep an eye on those kids.
Oh, I do. We're not anywhere around him. He's a
all right.
No,
yeah,
but the trauma is done.
We're worried about you, too.
The trauma is done. It's done. It's a done
deal. Yeah.
You're a trauma survivor, too. And trauma is transmitted generationally.
Of course.
The stuff that happened to you.
Same way your parents were.
The same way Adam's parents were.
I try and model myself to make sure that I broke the cycle. I left him at an early age, and everybody in my family stuck through their marriages.
All right.
Well, there's really one way to break the cycle, and that's with treatment. That's it.
Aaron, crank them kids out. Listen, I feel bad for everybody. On the other hand, I like a bullet put in the head of this guy's mother who molested him. Yeah. And
you know, her
mom too.
But it really does show something interesting, which is how people would rather act out on things out of the environment than feel the real pain and rage at their parents.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, Saddam Hussein gets viciously beaten by his dad. Therefore, it's the white man that's the problem. It's out there. That's where the problem is, as opposed to feeling the real serious pain.
Yeah, listen, everybody.
It all gets displaced onto things out there. The government,
This is a good point. I never stop abusing my family. I really don't. Verbally, physically.
Sexually.
I never said the abuse never stops. It just never stops. I was abusing my poor 9-year-old grandmother verbally last night.
Last night? I heard about it. You told me about it.
Yeah, last night. Last night she said, she's trying to get some money together for her. She has a nurse, helper, maid sort of.
This is actually a good story. tell it completely.
Well, she's going to be listening. She's going to get angry.
It's a good story.
Listen, when you're 93 years old, you need someone around the house to help you take a crap.
Or you're going to a nursing home.
Or you're going to a nursing home. You need to get out of the wheelchair into this over there. So she said to me, we're passing the hat. We're getting some money together for her for Christmas. And meanwhile, my grandma's got a couple of bucks in the bank. She's fine. I mean, more than a couple of bucks. Not rich, but got enough to keep her going.
For long
enough. Yeah. So she says, we're getting some money together. I said, all right. I'll put in, I think I said, $500. Which she was like shocked by. Like, no, we're talking about like $50. But I was like, hey, you got to give her a little money. If she's doing a good job, you got to give her a bonus. And she said she doesn't have a table in her kitchen. Doesn't have, you know, pots to cook in. So I said, why don't you pay her more? And she shut up, and she said, I'm trying to raise money. I said, yeah, I know, but if you just pay her, if you give her the money.
You're the reason she doesn't have the table
in the kitchen. Give her the money. Give her the money. You won't have to hit me up. You just start paying her.
But in the meantime, she doesn't have health care.
Yeah.
There's all these things she should be getting from out there somewhere.
This is my family is that sort of left-wing bleeding heart. These people don't have enough to live off of.
They don't even have a table.
They don't have a table. Yeah, pay him. Then it's like, how dare you? Now it's like, oh, see, now, and this is what I say. This is the put up or shut up thing that I have. And I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But I grew up around these sort of left wing sort of, in Canada, they take care of all their people without, you haven't paid taxes in 22 years, bitch. What are you talking about taking care of the people?
And you're withholding from the one person
yes,
you could help.
Please. I was talking about my mom, actually, with the Canadian health stuff. But, I mean, yeah, my mom was on welfare. She's talking about the Canadians, you know. It's like, listen, you want to take care of somebody? Go ahead, pay them. You don't, shut up and stop complaining about the system, by the way. And all those people you loathe, the GMs, the Fords, the Pepsis, the Coca-Colas, they're paying for all you a-holes. Not you guys. Please. No, yes. I still do abuse my own family. And even my grandmother's into her 90s. I was abusing her last night verbally.
I'm abusing her. We're having sparks.
Well, listen, that's what you do. You don't start complaining about how poor everyone is when they're your employee. Just pay them more. No, she's not going to pay her more. Hell no, she's not going to pay her more. That's what I want all you guys to think about. Are you going to pay more? And if not, shut up. Stop your whining. Or dig in and start doing something. Hey. We got to go to another break.
Hey.
I want to hear a Thrice song.
Now?
We could squeeze one in.
I think so.
Anderson says no.
After we'll get right into it after the break.
Right in.
Anderson, after. Maybe directly in so Adam doesn't have a chance to talk.
Like, aww. You know.
Just use some of his canned talking.
You just intro the song, Anderson, and go right in.
All right. After the break. Everybody, that reminds me of a story.
No.
A long, long story. No. I played Pop Warner football. So East Valley Trojans, Drew, have you heard this one?
Yeah.
I was playing midgets. No, tiny mites. No, bantams. No, I think it was gremlins.
Gremlins.
This is gremlins. Mid-70s now. We're playing in championship.
Hey, a Thrice song. Thrice song.
Oh, hey, Thrice is here tonight, everybody. I want to welcome Thrice to the show.
Hi.
Did you guys just get in?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Just wow, you missed a great show. All right. Let's hear something from Thrice. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. You queued up there, Chris Anderson, ready to go? This is called Stare at the Sun.
Don't exist. I crack my teeth on pearls.
everybody. It's a little band by the name of Thrice. The Artist in the Ambulance is the name of the CD. Band is the CD is out. Obviously, the band is going to be out going to Europe and Japan as well in the
in Oregon,
upcoming
Australia.
Weeks and months,
yes,
and then back to Oregon and then to Australia. All right. Like I said, Australia, just here you have to go from everybody who's went.
Our tour manager is Australian, mm-hmm. and our guitarist bought him a boomerang for Christmas, and he went out in the back parking lot where our practice space is today and threw it once. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me try that. We're throwing it on concrete. I threw it, and it broke.
Oh, was it a wooden one?
Yeah, second flight, it was just like...
Yeah, they used to have the red whammo ones until there's probably a lawsuit too many people getting hit in the back of the head with them or something. But there was a, I remember they were hot for just a little bit. Is it? That's probably before your time and Drew. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Whammo came out with like eight different things. That's the Super Bowl, the Frisbee, the boomerang.
They're the ones that had there were three.
There was a ring.
It's like triple.
Right. Yeah, they had and they had that red boomerang. You just chuck it and... Yeah, I think I knew someone who had one of those. Tony?
Yeah, do you know what I'm going on?
No.
Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon.
Tony?
Yeah.
Not now, but soon.
Turn down whatever's on in the background.
Why?
It will now be then.
What'd he say?
Almost.
What'd you say, Tony?
I said, well, it's just the radio. All right. Is that better?
Yes.
Am I going to go on?
Yes. But not for a little while.
Tony's priceless. You got to give him a second.
Are you a big fan of Adam's?
Yeah.
I mean, because Adam doesn't have anyone on the air who's not a big fan.
I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I've been waiting for like an hour.
An hour? That's a little light for Adam. If he finds out that someone's been waiting for less than an hour, he freaks
have your head
out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been on for a while.
Well, if you're ready to kneel and pray at the altar of Adam, because, again, that's the only way. I'll get fired, too, if he finds out we had this conversation.
Okay. He won't.
You're not going to tell him?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
What was your call about, Tony?
Am I going to be on next?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get Adam. Hold on. Hey, welcome to Love Line. Who's on? Tony, you're 15. What's going on there, brother?
Nothing. I was just wondering.
How long you been on hold, buddy?
For about hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
Wow. A little light.
I'd say the kids love me, though. They're willing to wait for me. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tony. You're a big fan?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening for about since it started, 11 o'clock.
Let me tell you the thing that's great about me, though, Tony. I'll have anyone on. You disagree. You'll get on that much faster because I'm always eager for the fray. And I can mix it up with anybody. I'm not scared of anybody. Right there, buddy?
Yeah.
Tony, you didn't talk to anybody before you came on who told you what to say or anything, did you?
Uh-oh.
All right. Because sometimes we got one of our phone screeners comes on, likes to coach some of the people, tell them how long they were on hold and that kind of thing. You didn't talk to that guy, did you?
I was just telling you how long I've been on for.
Right. All right, buddy. As long as you didn't talk to any guy. Like a guy had kind of a nasally drone.
No, I don't know.
No? All right. So you've been on hold for how long?
About an hour and a half, so why?
Hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hours?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We're going to get you on the air in just 1 second. I mean, you're on there, but we've got to put you on hold because Drew's got to take care of just a little bit of business. Hang on 1 second.
So
hang
I'm
on
next.
1 second. Hang on.
You're next.
Be quiet. Yeah. Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded pretty good. Which show, an hour and a half?
I just told him that. I don't know. He just asked if I talked to anybody, and I just... Mm-hmm. Try not to tell.
You didn't tell me to talk to me, did you?
I'm not getting you fired, buddy.
Okay, because I could lose my job. I'll tell you, Adam seems cool on the air, but off the air, a-hole.
Can be pretty violent.
Yeah, he's tough.
Violent.
Yeah, he's bad. I've seen him coming.
Next, yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah, he'll get you on next. Drew, pussycat.
Hello?
Gare than old Perry, but Adam, animal. Come, I've seen him trash the studio many times. All right, hold on a second.
Am I on?
Hold on. Yeah, we're getting up against a break. That's the guy who sounds like Drew who helps me screen the calls. Okay.
So I'm on next.
Yeah, hold on. Shut up, Doug. All right, hang on there, Tony. We'll get you up next, all right?
All right, no matter what?
No matter what.
All right.
Unless Adam fires me during the break, because sometimes he just fires.
All right, he probably won't fire you, though.
Okay. All right, hang on, buddy. All right, Thrice is in studio tonight. Drew, who are we going to next?
Tony. Tony's been on hold here for an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. He's 15 years of age.
He's gay.
Want to talk to that young lad. Thrice in studio. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, love line. I'm Ace Carolla. That's my on again, off again lover, Dr. Drew. He's in the hizzy. Dustin and Riley both here from Thrice.
Yeah.
The artist and ambulance, name of the CD.
Speaking of the hizzy, somebody told me they saw our crank yankers again.
Mm.
The one where we convinced the guy he's turning tricks for heroin. Good one.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Now remember, Crank Yankers, Comedy Central.
Yeah,
geez, let me tell you what I had to do today. Is you can see I'm wearing my Crank Yankers sweat jacket.
Yeah.
I grabbed a hat from the back of my car today because, as you know, I like to wear hats almost everywhere, and it happened to be a Crank Yanker baseball hat. And then I took a look at myself as I was leaving my car, walking to business, like, hey, what a dick. Like,
super
yeah,
fan.
We get it. You're on the show, all right, a-hole? And I just thought, and I was thinking, no, I just got this hat, and I sweat jacket, I'm just wearing it because it's cold. Took the hat off, put it back. They got us, when we used to do Loveline, the TV show, they got us these big Loveline jackets, and they were nice. They were like rain jackets, had a hood and a drawstring, and they were like, only rain. No, you know what I did? Loveline was written in bright yellow.
You blacked it out.
Took a Sharpie.
Yeah.
Went right over. It's just, ew, what a dick. The guy's wearing his, once in a while you see the celebrity guy who's in the show he's on wearing his show swag. It's kind of dicky. But then you realize, I think they think about it sometimes, just put the hat on.
Right. Somebody just hands you the coat.
It's the same way for bands, too.
You can't wear your own
stuff.
Unless you're a cool shirt and you're like, I want to wear that. I can't wear that.
Yeah. Or sometimes you're just kind of in a pinch. Like, you just need to put something on and go down to the corner.
It definitely happens with, like, sweatshirts. Like, I'm really cold.
All I have is this Thrice sweatshirt.
Give me that.
Yeah.
It would go nice with my Thrice sweatpants and my Thrice muckluck boots and my Thrice ski beanie. Yeah, that would be nice, just on the hip. That's nice. All right, now, I want to interview this band Thrice. I want to interview them correctly. So let's just take a couple of minutes and interview Thrice. Tony? Tony?
Hello?
Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening? We're going to put you on with Adam again.
Am I going to go on?
Yeah. He's kind of pissed, though, because he found out we talked.
Why is he pissed?
Well, first off, you know, he's one of those artist guys. You know, and those guys, they're all over the place emotionally. What? I'm just saying, you never know what kind of mood Adam's going to be in when he comes into the studio. You know what I'm saying?
It's back on. Am I going to be on right now?
I'm going to put you on in a minute. I just want to make sure you're saying the right thing, okay? Uh-oh. Tony.
Yeah.
Tony, when you come on with Adam, tell him you've been on hold for a couple hours, okay?
Okay.
A couple hours?
Yeah.
Really, brother, you could save my job.
Right.
Okay, a couple hours. All right, hold on a second. Let me see if I can get him. So anyway, well, that about wraps it up with Thrice. Tony?
Yeah.
You're 15, calling from Minnesota. How long have you been on hold?
About 2 hours now.
About 2 hours?
Uh-huh.
Didn't he say an hour and a half last time he was on?
Well, here's it. But that was about 5 minutes ago, Drew.
That was five minutes ago.
Oh, touché.
I said hour and a half to 45 minutes.
Hour and a half to 45.
Two-hour
mark. All right, so you've been on hold for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
Whatever.
All right. Just want to make sure. Hey, my fans will wait, Drew.
Adam, come on. Don't be such a prick.
My fans will wait. Yeah. Go ahead, Tony.
What?
Did you call with something, Tony?
What's your question, buddy?
I was wondering that if I was gay. I've had a girlfriend for 6 months, and then I started to kind of like a guy. And I was wondering how I could break up with the girl, or I'm wondering what I should do.
How old are you?
Mm-hmm.
15.
When were you born?
88. 1988.
Oh,
1988. He's good at math.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony, this is the A-ster here. How long you been on hold?
Like,
a couple hours?
Yeah.
2 hours? Two and a half?
No, not
okay. Not two and a half. All right. Listen, I heard you talking to somebody in the background earlier. Who was that?
That's my friend TJ.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, is that her? Could you put her on the phone for us, please?
TJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
TJ, they want to talk to you. TJ.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Hello, TJ.
Yeah?
TJ, how long you been on hold?
I've been with him the whole time, like an
About
hour and
two,
a half.
Hey. He said 2 hours. All right, whatever.
TJ, how old are you?
I'm 15.
Mm-hmm. And are you the guy Tony's got the hats for?
Yeah.
No, you're not, you two jack-offs. Please, stop wasting our time. You heard me. Yeah. Two 15-year-old guys from Minnesota. I like this girl, and now I'm starting to like this guy, dude. Come on. You guys, what do you guys, is it school, you got a Christmas vacation, or is the opening of deer hunting season? What do you get?
Ice fishing.
It's Christmas ice fishing. Vacation.
All right, so you guys just hanging out over at Tony's house?
Yeah.
All right, having a good time. What do you got? You guys got cable?
Yeah.
You got satellite TV?
No.
Hmm. What about the internet? Do you have the computer?
No.
Okay, good. I'm starting to like you more. What do you, you got electric football? What do you guys play?
Xbox.
All right. It's late over there in Minnesota, isn't it? What is it, 2 hours or 3 hours?
Two, one in the morning.
It's one of the one.
It's time for you guys to go to bed.
What grade are you in?
I'm in ninth.
All right. You got a big day of ice fishing and utter bombing tomorrow. All right? All right.
Quick on his feet, that DJ. Very quick.
I like this sharp shooting 15-year-old. Hey, what time is it?
What?
See, those kids aren't Jewish.
How do you know?
Because... Jew kid be bopping. I'm not Jewish, but I know. I remember. They're fast talking.
Don't they go to sleep early?
They go to bed early because their brains are tired from thinking. Jews wear their brains out by the time the streetlights come on at night. Oh. All that calculating, all that thinking, all that conniving. You know what I mean? All that planning. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. They're like military strategists who never pick up a gun.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, these... These are more the white trash guys who don't really, brain never really fires up.
Right.
You ever get a, like a bad bulb? You flip the switch and it kind of starts to light up. It's like a bad neon bulb or fluorescent. You know the bad fluorescent bulb you got? Yeah. It starts to light up and then gets twitchy and then doesn't really do. That's like the brain of the guys who just called. That is the white guy from Minnesota brain. It's like, it takes some power, but it's never, never really hits its stride.
I had a light bulb, break off the glass part, break away from the screw-in part.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get that out?
Okay.
That happens all the time to me.
They have these tips that sound like great tips.
Potato BS.
Right, but it's just
please.
Nonsense. Yeah, they
nonsense.
Cut the potato in half and put that, and all you get is that weird potato jizz dripping down your arm.
You get the mashed potato.
Yeah, and Drew, that's an expensive item, a potato.
Potato, not a waste of potato. Yeah. I don't know how to fix that thing.
Yeah.
Potato and a light bulb,
here's the whole thing about that is... You got to get that thing out. Now, see, here's the problem. The reason it broke is because the thing is stuck in there
really,
in the first place.
Tightly stuck in there. Yeah.
It's going to be
potato.
Tough. Needle nose pliers. But here's the thing.
How do you know the thing's off?
Well, you flip the switch, the other whatever. Oh, hit the breaker. Hit the breaker. Right. I would take, here's what I would do. I would try to shoot some sort of lubricant in there, like WD-40. Okay. Use that straw.
Yeah.
That red straw, stick
about.
It in there and try to squirt some lubricant up in there. Then I would try to use two sets of pliers, needle nose or not, simultaneously. Instead of just sort of putting the pressure on one side and binding it, try to put two of them on there.
Okay.
The other thing you can do, works nicely. People got to do this. tapping works nicely. Clamp onto the edge, the broken edge, mm-hmm. the metal edge, after you shoot a little WD in there, hang on to the plier, and then stick like a handle or a shoe or the heel of a shoe or something. Just tap, pop, tap, pop. Tap, tap, tap. It'll start making its way around. Okay. The tapping. The yanking tends to sort of torque it and twist it and lock it. The tapping
whatever
is nice.
Whatever the whole apparatus is, starts turning with it.
Just go ahead and tap, Drew.
All right, good. Right. Home improvement tips. It's good.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything?
I got nothing for you.
Sounds pretty good. Okay. Definitely hit the breaker, though.
Greg?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's up?
I wanted to know why the Touchstone terrorists were left out of season 2 and 3 of the Crank Anchors.
We're just talking about Crank Anchors. All right, I'll make it fast. The guy, what the hell was his name? I'll think of his name. I think, what's that?
Repeat?
No, Touchstone terrorists were, I can't think of the guy's name. The reason he was left out is probably just because they didn't have any good material for us to use. As far as I know.
Thing you do. Anyways, I'm Drew. I was wondering if you can remember.
Wait, what did he say?
Whatever.
What did you say?
Don't worry about it, Adam. I was wondering if I had a question for Drew.
Why are guys jack-offs on this show? I think he slighted me, but I wasn't exactly. Oh, he's talking about my character on that Crank Anchor.
Better than that something you do.
Yeah, look, here's the whole thing. The guy, the Touchstone Terrorist guy, his name is like Pete Doggy or something like that. He had a CD that had some good stuff on it, and we used one or two of the things, but that was all he had, so we just used what he had. And I guess in season two, he didn't have anything, or we chose not to use it. And by the way, I like the way everything turns into some kind of conspiracy. We produce a show where we take the best material we can find and put it on so we can get rich. We're not really interested in, elbowing people out or politics or anything. You come up with something good, you got it, we put it on.
It's true of just about everything.
I know. Why is everything like, oh, you're jealous? Yeah. You know, it's like, but why'd we call the guy in the first place?
Yeah.
They never think about that either. Like, well, he was on season one, remember?
Mm-hmm.
How come we pick up the phone?
Oh, he shined so brightly, though. He scared you. You had to get rid of him.
Yeah, I know.
Might have made your show more popular.
I know. What line was this jackoff on?
3.
All right. Yeah, listen,
Adam,
jackass.
It's about that, man.
Well, what are you talking about? Are you talking about Pete Doggy or Pete Doggy or whatever his name is?
Well, I want to know if Drew can remember the last time he masturbated.
All right. Listen, jackoff.
That is a jackoff.
Just continue attempting to blow yourself, would you? You're never going to get laid, you screwball.
Let Drew answer.
Okay, he'll answer.
Of course. Can't wait.
Oh, why do I hate people so much? Because they're horrible.
Some of our callers are horrible.
No. I'm just saying 99% of society, they just disappoint. Yes?
No, it's really 5%.
Really?
Yeah. But they seem so huge. You know what I mean?
It's more than 5%.
It's more than 5. I mean,
30%.
Okay, here's all I can judge. All I can judge it by is like when you're on the road. I remember I was chewing out my 93-year-old grandmother in Topanga Canyon, where my sister lives. Last night, and I was driving back here, driving home to go to the show.
Yeah,
sucks working Sunday night, by the way, when everyone's off and everyone goes, "Where are you going?" And you go, "I'm going to work." You're going to work?
Yeah.
Work's always that much worse when there's about 30 drunk people that are going, "Where are you going?" I got to go to work. You going to work? So everyone's like freaked out that you're going to work. And, you know, with my family, too, because, you know, work.
Work. Oh. The devil's toil.
By work, you get $633 a month from the government. So driving up to Panga Canyon, it's 8 o'clock at night. And there's some guys going 20 miles an hour. And there's another pickup truck. And the pickup truck is behind the car that's going up to Panga Canyon. I'm behind the pickup truck. And the pickup truck's 3 feet behind this guy. I'm not exaggerating. It dropped back about 8 feet and then move up. I mean, he was tailgating. The lights are on. He's not flashing the brights or anything. He's just right on the guy's rear bumper, and I'm right on the rear bumper of the pickup truck. And it's the middle of the night. It's in Topanga Canyon. It's dark. It's like the wilderness. There's no street lights. If you have a rear view, you're going to notice that there's a car that is within 1 meter of the rear of your car and is not moving. And that's where the guy is the entire time. At a certain point, the pickup slides out. He's going to make his move.
Yeah,
and he slides out into oncoming traffic. Now, there's another car, and of course, I got the wife. No! And I'm like, we're going! Because now, me and the pickup truck, we're a team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's made his move.
Yeah.
I got to make my move. There's solidarity here. He slides out. There's a car coming the other way. I slide out. I punch it. He punches it. We're both now, it seems like it's taking forever because we're going uphill and we're trying to get around this car and there's a car coming the other way. The point is the car that we're passing, no, they didn't speed up, but they didn't inch, they didn't move a quarter inch to the right. And didn't slow down and didn't, you know, it's like, hey, there's a couple of guys that want to get around you. They've been wanting to get around you for the last 20 miles or so. Now they've slid out and they're going around you. How about you just sort of, you got plenty of room on the road. How about you not just ride the line? How about you just slide over 2 or 3 feet or maybe even slow down a little bit? No, not going to happen. Now, I don't know if you're stupid, if you're angry, if you're distracted, if you're depressed. I don't know what you are, but there's a lot of those people out there and we need to get rid of them. That's all I'm saying.
I really think a lot of the time people just have no concept of their surroundings.
I do too. A lot of the time. Drew thinks there's evil intent. I think they're just totally out of it. Like, I just think they're driving at the speed they drive. If there's no cars behind them, if there's 1,000 cars behind them, if there's a Pope Mobile behind them or the presidential motorcade behind them, the Green Lantern could be behind them. It doesn't matter who's behind them. They go 22. That's what they do. Part of the reason they go 22 is because they're kind of out of it, and being out of it stops them from noticing anything around them. And that's it. Just not going to move.
Hmm.
Yeah? But I always wonder at night with the xenon headlights. It's like, you don't notice those things just taking up your entire rearview mirror? It's just nothing but white light in all three mirrors?
How could like, that not be passive-aggressive?
Drew says that, but the person was going 22 before you got there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not altering.
No, I understand.
All right. And there's there's an element of... Look, the speed limit says 25, and I'm going 24 and a half, so screw you. There's an element of that.
Yeah, that's passive aggressive.
Yes. All right. I just...
I think if somebody wants to go 100, fine.
Right, right.
That's up to you.
Here's all I want as a society. I want the guys start... I want people to start laying on the horn. Start going, look, it's not okay for you to impede us this way. Move over or do something.
We're pretty easy on the horn in this country. If you go to, like, South America,
really?
It's just like... People, it's not like an offensive thing. People just use their horn. Like, I'm going through this red light, and
yes.
I am gonna swerve around you. And it's just like it's an instrument of,
right.
It's like talking.
Well, it's used for what it's supposed to be used for, which is to alert people, or to let people know something, or to tell people to move along, or you know, to do that. Hey, wake up! The lights turn. Yeah, L.A. especially, no honking.
Well, it's against the law to honk here.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is? We got to do something about that, Drew.
Okay.
Sometimes I just stop talking
right
and I see if it
not right
how long
let's go to call.
How long it takes before Drew starts talking, just to see. And then it makes me think you can never stop talking now. Tracy?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
New York, that's a horn honk in town. That's what we need here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. Here's all you need to know about here's how you can judge a town's speed, their cab driver. That's a great yardstick to measure the town's flow and their aggressiveness or their non-aggressiveness. New York cab drivers, maniacs, on the horn, cutting around, flying through the town. L.A. cab drivers, confused pussies. Pussies. I mean, I can't ride in the back of an L.A. cab because they don't move. There's pussies, they're out of it, and they're slow.
And they don't know how to drive either. It's also the cars.
The town car guys.
I won't
pussies,
take those anymore.
Pussies and slower than crap.
I did a morning show, like a good CBS morning show last week or something. They're like, well, you like a car? I'm like, 4 in the morning? No, I can make it there in 12 minutes. Take this guy 45.
Yeah.
No way.
Or my kettle could show up and it could take 45 minutes. Forget it. Yeah.
And it's not like I'm resting. The guy's talking the whole time.
Yeah. I built a houseboat some years. Oh, Christ. Please drive the car, old man. It's like me. Now I know what it must be like to be with me.
Oh, yeah.
I just the CDX ply, good one side, launched it in the marina, lived there with my ex for a couple of years because it was uncomfortable.
Put Eric on hold and go back to Tracy, who you were talking to before you went on that
Tracy?
Diatribe. On line four.
Tracy.
Hi.
Tracy.
Hi.
Yeah, Tracy.
What's up?
Yeah. I actually have some questions for you guys.
All right.
First, I read Dr. Drew's book, and it was awesome.
Thank you, Tracy. It's called Cracked. For anybody else who'd like to read it, the sales have slowed markedly, and I've not been pumping it very much.
But well, let's go.
It's an important book, I think. I would like people to read it.
Important
it's
if you awesome. Drew.
If anyone's listening, they should really read it. It's really good.
Thanks, Tracy.
And Adam, I love you too.
Thanks, Adam. Go ahead.
I have a question about the new birth control that the FDA approved, the seasonal, the four periods a year thing.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out like a month ago that I have type 2 diabetes, and I was wondering if that would have any effect on that. And when you do have your four periods a year, would they be crazy, like really heavy periods?
They're heavier, but they're not crazy heavy. Mm-hmm. A lot of women prefer this. There's absolutely no reason that women can't go with just a few periods a year. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of belief, almost sort of primitive man belief that, oh, we've got to cycle every month. There's no evidence that that's the case.
Cool.
The type 2 diabetes, do you have polycystic ovarian disease?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you have PCO, and which is associated with type 2 diabetes, and so it's important for you to take the birth control pill, actually.
What do you want? You want type 2 or type 1?
Type 1 is insulin deficient juvenile onset. Type 2 is insulin resistant later in life.
So you want type 1?
No, type 1 is bad. Type 2, you can take pills to deal
type
with it.
Type 3? What about type 3?
No, type 3.
I'd like to start at type 3.
You can. You may.
I may have that. Yeah. I think I got that.
No doubt.
Tracy?
Must have your B12 levels.
Could check this B12 levels.
Yeah.
So, Tracy, so you want to get on this and knock your period down to four times a year?
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah.
I don't, not being an expert in PCO, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I can't think of any reason that with polycystic ovarian disease, it wouldn't be a good idea, number one. And number two, are you taking glucophage?
Yeah.
Are you taking glucophage now?
Yeah, metformin. Yeah.
Metformin, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so good. You take that, watch your diet, lose weight, exercise. Yeah. That's more important than anything.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, hey, good times. Hey, listen, you go from 12 times a year down to four times a year. You save a lot of landfill space with them tampons
That's
and
right.
pads
That's
and whatnot, too.
And I think about a little that. Too much is made of this PCO and the type 2 diabetes. It's my personal opinion.
Because
really, they're all overweight.
Mm-hmm.
They all need to really...
A little nutty?
She
didn't say she was overweight.
Mm-hmm. They usually are, but they got to go with the weight loss and the exercise way more important than taking
She did say she was overweight by not arguing with you. It's like, got to exercise, mm-hmm. got to lose weight, got to cut down on the brownies. And she's like, yeah, check, will do. Tracy?
Yeah?
You got a couple extra pounds on you?
I knew you were going to ask.
Well, Drew brought it up.
Okay, and this is no kidding. You don't have to do radio math. I'm
All right.
completely honest.
All right. You do that now. I've added 10 pounds to the radio math. Go ahead.
You can't say I'm a cow because I'm not.
No, I won't.
I'm 5'2".
5'2".
And I weigh 270.
5'2", 270.
You know that is a cow sound.
We didn't do that. We did not
Anderson
do that.
Does that. Let's see. Now, radio math checks out. You're 5'2", 270.
Oh, that's heck good. Yeah.
Yeah, because look, if you're 5'2 and you're 270, you're going to say 5'3½, 250.
210, yeah.
Well, 210, that's right. Even stretching, because sometimes I will check out these things, and I will get my car.
Yeah, you get to do the
She's calling from Ohio, but I will go down
do
and
the
check
water
it out.
Displacement. And
yeah. Yeah. All right, so
all
Tracy.
All the girls in Ohio are big.
Yeah, they're big, so don't ever leave.
Heck yeah, I'm staying here.
Yeah, because you're average.
I can't compete.
You're 5'2", 270, that's average. But you step into like South Beach or Southern California or something, look out.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be scary. Yeah.
All right, so listen, baby doll. Mm-hmm. You're 5'2", 270, you got to lose a few pounds. You're 23 years old.
I know. Right. I know I'm fat.
No, listen, I'm not making funny. I'm just worried about your health.
I think you may want to look into some of the surgical approaches because...
Well, I've already gone in for all that, and they say
good.
That I'm too fit to have it done because
too
I can't
fit?
Go out and exercise.
Cause,
really?
Ooh.
That doesn't sound... You may want to get another opinion.
Really?
Well, because, yeah.
Well, so now... All right,
because
let's
usually
talk
they
about
want you to be fit so you can tolerate the procedure and... you know, really attend to your
but
exercise
maybe
needs.
Let me say this. Is there a certain amount of this that goes on in the medical profession? And actually, it's probably a good thing, which is they're saying to people, look, stop relying on this on the surgeon's scalpel. You're 24. You're able-bodied. Now start exercising and start dieting and see about losing that weight.
They wouldn't say it to somebody like this. Somebody like this, they would say, hey, this is not going to get better without something drastic.
Because 5'2", 270 is that drastic?
Yeah.
And definitely not fit.
But yeah. Once in a while, you get somebody who can move at that weight. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. But
Earl Campbell had those big
thighs.
Look
at her history, the genetics and everything, and you go, okay, yeah, this needs a correction.
Yeah, but...
Listen, Tracy is someone that's going to fall victim to our crazy-ass society, which would tell her just get some Cindy Crawford tapes and...
those tapes. Yeah, well, she put some cucumbers on her eyes before she goes to bed.
That's right. They'll take care
How
of
much yeah. weight will they take out?
They don't take it out. They change the stomach a little bit, change the where it empties and things. And people
you're not saying, like, liposuction. You're saying stomach...
Bypass, you know, the bariatric surgeries. And she loses 150 pounds. Fast.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. I have a friend who was, you know, perpetually. And by the way, you know, if you really think about everybody and everyone you know, Drew, I met you. You were 193. You met me. I was 196. You're now 193 and a half. I'm now 196 and a half. Producer Ann's been losing 10 pounds in the 9 years that I've known her. Perpetually. You know, my fat buddy was 300 pounds when I met him and dieting. And 12 years later, he was exactly the same. I mean,
then we have Ron Lester.
Ron Lester.
Was 450 pounds. We met him.
Right.
Now he's 108.
He's not that light. I haven't seen him in a long time. He was an actor from, what the hell was he?
Varsity Blues.
Yeah. A bunch of, some TV shows and stuff like
but
that.
He was
too.
The big guy on Varsity Blues.
The point is.
He's small now?
He's small.
He had the gastro, though,
yeah,
didn't he?
Bypass.
Yeah, so anyway, my buddy finally, at the age of, 40, just went and did this, and pow,
yeah,
100 pounds gone. Yeah. I mean, the 100 pounds he's been working on for 22 years, gone in six months.
Jesus, again. That's where to go. I just looked at the time. My God, I'm sorry.
Did we take a break at 20?
We took a break. All right, let's take a break. Thrice is here. We're going to perform that gastro surgery on him during the break.
Are you going to play another Thrice song?
I'll play another Thrice song after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. This Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. My wife's telling me tonight about a retarded guy she works with breaking a lot of wind in the lobby, and I'm immediately amused.
Actually retarded? Actually?
Yeah, he's got a little thing going on.
Is he just transport guy or something?
He's like, perpetual intern.
And you'd be applauding the
15
guy.
Years.
You're looking forward to seeing him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I announced to my wife that he has a better life than I do. Which I think she took personally. But, I mean, think about that. You have, the guy shows up. He brings his Special Olympic medals with him into work. He's 38, 39 years old. He's proud of them. He does all the stuff you wish you could do at work. I wish I could bring one of my football trophies in and blow some gas. Hey, everybody. Look at that, 1979, most improved. That year we went to state. Yeah.
Lactators.
Couple medals around my neck. I mean, it'd be nice. He's happy. People give him rides and stuff. He's not even worried about, what is this terrorist alert thing? Come on, what's he care? He's got his medals. You know what I'm saying? Those will protect him. There's kind of a certain allure to that. I mean, isn't there? You're blowing wind where you don't care about the terrorists. It's just nice. That's all I'm saying. It's not so bad. I could go for that. You know what I mean?
It's like we were talking about my dogs yesterday when they were all high strung. I was telling you how smart they were.
I said that's a burden.
Yeah. Yeah, so Drew, that's why they're high strung.
Drew brought his dogs into work yesterday and... They're nervous dogs. They're smart.
Extra smart. Crazy smart.
Crazy smart dogs. They're like dogs with monkey. Well, they got like monkey brains.
Australian Shepherds.
But with a monkey
brain. It's like having a primate. Yeah, you talk to them.
Yeah, the Australian Shepherds. They follow you around. Yeah. But here's the problem. They're on guard.
Yeah.
And I don't mean on guard like someone's going to attack Drew. I just mean they're very aware. You know, I mean, you get some Labrador. Labrador falls asleep in on the threshold of the door. You have to step over them. And each time the door swings shut, just barely misses the dog's tail, doesn't know, doesn't care, just asleep. Not just dreaming about biscuits and tennis balls. Yeah. No, anything. Drew's dogs are like, oh my God, what's going on?
What
Where's he
here?
Going? Something's going. What's around this corner? What's around? Labrador's just wagging its tail, you know, big and fat, just looking for its next meal, wants to screw with something, you know? Your dogs are unhappy.
They're
too smart.
Yeah.
They're tortured.
As you said, they know that S could happen.
They know bad things could happen. Right. That's the first thing you figure out when you get smart is something bad could happen. I could get hit in the head and be a retard.
Yeah, something really bad could happen now, I'm realizing. We could go another 10 minutes and not play a Thrice song.
All right.
So should we just get that over with?
Well, that'd be a tragedy.
Yeah, let's go play that Thrice song.
What song are we going to play? Oh, we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the name of the CD, by the way. You queued up there, Chris? Looking good? Anderson, you looking good? This is called The Artists in the Ambulance.
Late night big slack, hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up. And I open bloodshot eyes into fluorescent white. Flip the siren, hit the lights. Close the doors and I am gone.
The Artists in the Ambulance, name of the CD, also name of the song. We got Dustin Riley here from the band. The guys are going to Europe, Australia, and Japan, and then over to Oregon on their new tour or whenever. Now, when does that all happen? After the Christmas holiday?
Yeah, we're going January something. 24th.
January 24th or 25th to like the first week of March, and then we're home for a week, and we do a headlining tour across the U.S. from March to June, I think.
Who are you going out with in the European tour?
It's been called Vox, and...
Wait a minute, have we had Vox on this show?
I think. Really?
I think we... Well, sounds familiar. Where are they from?
From Denver.
Yeah, they're cool guys. We like those guys. Yeah. All right. True.
There you go.
And by the way, here's how you know your band's not doing good. It's when people go, a band called... Because, you know, when you're... You know, when
you just go by that name. You're Vox.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah. Nobody... Oh, it's Vox. It's that kind of Vox. That's V-A-U-X.
Like faux, but...
No, then we haven't had them.
No.
Because that would have made fun of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, here's what I'm saying. The band, yeah, no one says a band called U2. They just go U2. But here's the thing. It is the band equivalent to, where are you working?
Right now.
Right now.
Exactly.
That is the working equivalent to a band called.
Yep.
You don't, when you have a job, you don't want to preface it with, right now, I'm refilling the, you know, the vending machines that have the small little packets of detergent at the coin-op place? Right now, I'm in charge of those, filling those off. Make sure there's enough change, too. That kind of thing. Yeah, and a band called. Same thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Eric?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Doing good there. You're 25. What's up?
Yeah, well, first, Thrice is awesome. They've been playing them a whole lot on the radio station here in Arizona. Really cool stuff.
Thanks, man.
What's that?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I got a question for Dr. Drew, and then I got a little something for Adam also. But Dr. Drew, me and my girlfriend went into Planned Parenthood today, and we got the morning after pill, and they gave it to us with no problem, except the doctor told us that the effectiveness would be cut in about half because she got a flu shot today also. And I had never heard that before, and I wanted to see if
I have never heard that. I can't see how that could be the case. I don't want to say it's not true, because I don't know that, but it doesn't make sense in terms of the physiology. And you look at the package insert, there's nothing in there about that kind of thing cutting the effectiveness down. And, ladies and gentlemen, this product will be available next to the Tylenol over-the-counter soon enough. This is going to be available without a prescription throughout the country, finally.
Great. Happy days are here again.
Does it ever scare you what you hear people say that doctors tell them all over the place?
Yeah.
I seem to disagree with them quite a bit.
A lot of stuff. But
do you ever get the feeling that people like to use their expertise... And I've seen you do it too, Drew, where you like to just use your expertise in a sort of warning way, in a way that lets you exercise your expertise. I mean, I only know carpentry, so I find guys doing it with carpentry sometimes. Yeah. They go, you're going to want to let that set up at least 24 hours before you go ahead and put that tile. And you'll go, oh, listen, I can do it in an hour.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, okay, well, if you want to do it, fine. Well, they start by exercising their expertise.
Yeah, they're giving you direction that's super conservative.
But just in general... All the knowledge they have, it's no fun when you're sitting on this wealth of knowledge and you're not really using it. It's like, yeah, here, go ahead and take it. You want to go, but listen, you should take it every, you know what I mean? I think there's an element of that, and people take it very seriously, and we're not sure when they're just sort of exercising their jaw.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You have a question for me, Eric?
Yeah, I did. Thank you, Dr. Drew. I guess there's either way we'll find out soon enough if it's true.
Yeah, you don't have any alternative, do you? You got to just
right,
do this.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, now on the other note, me and a buddy at work here, we've been listening for about 4 years now, and Adam used to talk a lot about things that happened in 70s TV shows that don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
And over about the last 3 or 4 years, every time an idea pops into my head, I write it down, and I've got a quick list of five here if you're interested in them.
All right. Now, by the way, hold on. This is just hang on for a second, Eric. We'd always have a laugh about the stuff, people getting hit in the head, losing their memory, and having to get hit in the head again in order to regain their memory. Very dangerous message, by the way, I believe, for the producers of Gilligan's Island. Quicksand. I used to think I was going to go by, what are the two ways I thought I was going to die? Quicksand. There's a second way. I thought it was a 50-50 when I was growing up, there's a 50-50 chance I would die from quicksand at some,
everybody
some
did.
Point. Eventually, everyone did, yeah. Yeah, things like that. Taking the room.
Souffle and, humor.
Yeah, got the souffle in the oven, the door slams. Yeah.
Make right, mine
go
a
ahead.
Double.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. My number one is anytime you get a person that lived in a rich, ritzy part of town and they had to go into a bad part of town for any reason, there was always the guy on the corner that had a trench coat and was trying to sell them watches out of the trench coat.
Yeah, there was that. There's also like a hubcap stealing. Wait, hang on a second, Eric. Okay. Hang on, because we got to take a break, but we got four more of these things you don't see in sitcoms anymore. I say sitcoms would be better if they had
they
more of
convention.
That. We're gonna divide the apartment in half. You stay on your side. I'll stay on my side. The bathroom's on your side. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Thrice. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dustin Riley, both here from Thrice.
Hello.
Just talking about 70 conventions of comedy. Forgot about, you know, they would always do... It was a bad time in the 70s. A lot of bad comedy.
Oh, but everything.
They do the one. They do this one, too, where it's like you would be hiding in the closet. I'd go, all right, let's go. Let me grab my overcoat. And I would open the closet. Arm would stick out. Hand me the overcoat. I would thank the arm. Thank you. Put the overcoat on. Take two steps through the door and stop. What? It's like, really? Yeah, that wouldn't sink in for a good five count. Good slow five counts. That's that arm coming out of your closet. And you thank the arm? Thank you. Why thank you? I like the other one, too, where the guy's sleeping and there's like a monkey in bed with him, too. And he's like, oh, no. Here's the one they would always do. Whenever a guy dressed up as a chick, the boss would always, who is this lovely new lady? I haven't seen you around here before. Fresh! There's some guy look like John Goodman who put a skirt and a wig on. Well, you're very attractive young lady. Stay away, Fresh. You'd be like with the fan.
Covering
what
a
is
mustache.
That, really?
Yeah.
How many guys do you know could put on some heels and a wig and other guys would be hot for? About zero.
Let's hear what Eric's four more on.
All right. I'm sorry. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, your taping of the room in half, by the way, was Different Strokes. I remember that episode well.
Oh, no. It went way before that.
Yeah. I think there was a Laverne and Shirley that did that one. Yeah. There's been a few, but go ahead.
Okay. Number two.
Actually started with It Happened One Night.
Mm.
Go ahead.
That's before my time. number two is robbers. Whenever robbers would break into your house, they always were dressed in long sleeves, black head to toe with the black beanies and the flashlights.
No, yeah. You got to take it a little further. And then the Zorro mask.
Yeah,
then
the Zorro mask.
And the Lone burglar. Ranger. The Lone Ranger over his face.
Cat burglar right, mask. Right. Yeah.
Okay, number three. There's a lot of swinging restaurant door humor, which is...
Very well done.
Never fails. The guy behind him ends up with a big plate of spaghetti all over him.
Yeah, swinging restaurant door.
Yeah, write that down, Drew.
I'm writing it down.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, number four. It used to be a lot of sleepwalking, and generally it would involve food disappearing or something messed with, and they blame someone else.
And without exception, lengthy discussions about not waking them up.
Yeah.
Like they die.
Don't wake them up. You kill them.
You kill them. They die suddenly.
Really? They're sitting on the sofa. You can't wake up? No. Now, what happens when you wake up normally every day? That kill you? Really? The fact that you're sitting up? No. Yeah, and sleepwalking, never a boner. That's the most unrealistic part of the list.
True.
You're up at 4:30 in the morning, no wood.
Surprised, like American Pie movies never dealt with it.
You'd have to have a boner.
Whoa.
Probably what got you out of bed.
That's right.
If you were sleepwalking, that would kind of act as a curb feeler, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's like a divining rod.
Again, figure out the motivational priorities of the male brain. That's what's getting him out of bed. You're right. Otherwise, he's sleeping.
Yeah, people don't sleepwalk
anymore. He's hungry or he's got a boner.
All right, so last one, Eric. What do you got?
I got the last one, which is the TV theme songs used to explain the show. The $6 Million Man, the Hulk. It would tell you exactly what was happening. Nowadays, you flip onto some show and you're watching it. You have to watch the whole show, and sometimes you don't understand the relationship between the characters.
Yeah.
Whereas,
I agree. Movies,
you know?
I agree. The $6 Million Man, and thanks, Eric. Those were all classic. $6 Million Man was the best. It was like... Steve Austin, astronaut. And they had the actual footage of the guy out in, like, the Salt Flats trying to land that sort of precursor to the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And he's landing. It's like, she's breaking up. She's breaking. The thing's like crashing. And, you know, and the actual guy did live, by the way. I think it was a horrible accident. And then it's like, we can rebuild him. That it took about 40 minutes. By the time they got to the show, there was only about 12 minutes of programming they had to fill. It's actually that's a good idea. It's like, this is an hour long show, but we only got to do about 11 minutes of programming every week because the intro is 44 minutes.
It's like this show.
Love it. Yeah, it's like this show. How dare you? That was an attack. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We can rebuild him. He was running on the treadmill. He showed everything he had. He had the eye, he had the hand, it made that crazy sound. Oh man, that was a great show. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
The woman
woman had the dog too.
Yeah.
Dog was bionic.
Yeah,
and the dog didn't get an accident. They had to crush the dog and then make it bionic. Yeah,
nice.
We're gonna take a break. German Shepherd too. Not one of them weenie dogs. All right, take a quick break. We'll be right back. Another show deep in the ground. I want to thank Dustin Riley for coming in here from Thrice.
Thanks for having
me.
Always a pleasure. We'll do it every 12 weeks. The Artist in the Ambulance is the name of the CD. Look for it because it is out, and look for the guys going on a nice big fat tour. All right, we'll take a little extendo break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.